Good morning. We welcome you to the worship services of the Waverly Church of Christ. Your speaker this morning, Jeff Keel. Your song leader, Larry Hayes. We want to wish everyone that's a mother, Happy Mother's Day.
Bless you. Good morning. I'll be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord, and as long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Will you join me in prayer, please? Almighty Lord and God and our Savior, we come before you this morning thanking you for the many blessings of this day. Dear God, we thank you for how you are always with us. Even though sometimes we don't recognize it, we know, Father, that you are watching over us and keeping us in your love. Father, we know as we go through this life, in many ways we fail you and fail to honor you as Lord. We sin against your commands, Father, and we sometimes have weaknesses come into our life, and we just pray now that you look down on us with forgiveness. We know that this world we live in is full of sin and death, and these things tug at us and sometimes cause us to doubt. But we pray, Father, that you be with us at these times, as always. Father, we have many connected to our church or in our church family who have lost loved ones here lately and through this past few years, and we just pray, Father, that you'll be with each of those. Those who have lost spouses, Father, we pray especially, Father, that you be with them now in their time of loss. Be with those who have lost family members, Father, and may they find comfort in you and the hope in your name, Father. Heavenly Father, we pray as their brothers and sisters also that you give us the wisdom and love in our hearts and the opportunity that we can be a comfort and encouragement to them also. Father, this world is still going through a pandemic, and we pray that you continue to be with our brothers and sisters around the world, in India and other places, Father, and those who have suffered because of natural disasters. We pray that you be with each of those, Father. Be with all of our missionaries that working around the world, and we're thankful for the reports we get for how your will is being done in people's life, and people are being brought to you, Father. And we're thankful for how the Holy Spirit is working in their lives. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will give us a spirit of a missionary here in Waverly, that in our community we can outreach to others through our words and our actions. Father, we pray that you'll help our love for one another to grow, that the people in the community can see the love that we have for one another, and forgive us when we do fail each other, Father. We just ask for your guidance and forgiveness, and that you will constantly be with us, and that we'll be always watchful and mindful of our brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Jeff and Kyle as they work here as ministers. I ask your blessings on both of them. Be with Jeff this morning as he brings us a lesson, Father. We're thankful for both of them and their efforts, Father, in the ministry. Ask for good health for them and their wives and families. Heavenly Father, on this day that here in the nation we honor as Mother's Day, we pray that you be with all the women and who are wives and mothers, that you bless them for what they mean to our families. And we just pray that you bless each of them with strength and health and always. Heavenly Father, we pray that this congregation, again, that we can be a light in this community. We pray for the upcoming meal, that it will be a good outreach, Father, and that the community can see that the love that we have. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning as we go through this worship period that everything we say and do will be with you, be a good sound to you, Father, and according to your will. We ask your blessings on Larry and our other song leaders as they lead us in songs of praise. And may we lift up our hearts, Father, to you in joy and hope, and that as we speak to one another, that we can be an encouragement also, Father, that we will be uplifted by being together and joining our voices together. And we look forward to the day we'll be with you in heaven, and all Christians will be there to sing praises to you. Heavenly Father, again, we're just thankful we can meet here without fear. We're thankful for this country we live in. We ask your blessings upon our leaders. Bless them with wisdom, Father, especially that we may always live in peace and worship you as you have commanded us. We're thankful for the blessings we have here in America. Heavenly Father, again, we ask for your blessings on this congregation. We pray that we'll be a light in your community. Forgive us when we fail you, Father. Lord, come quickly. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we turn our thoughts to the Lord's Supper, let's sing number 381. 381.
If you do not have a communion packet, raise your hand. Someone will get one to you. Be preparing it. The Paul, when writing to the Corinthians had were partaking of the Lord's Supper in a way that he needed to do some teaching to him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, it reads, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and he gave thanks. And he gave thanks, and he broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for this bread that you have blessed us with. We thank you for the broken body that it represents in Christ. May we partake of it in a manner well pleasing to thee. In Christ's name, amen. Shall we again pray? Lord, we thank you for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents Christ's blood that was shed on the cross for us. And may we partake of it in a manner well-pleasing to thee. In Christ's name, amen. This time also we've been commanded by Christ to give back to the church here, where the church here can do the work here in the community and around the world. And we've been blessed so greatly in this country. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you bless us with in our life. As we give back to thee, dear Lord, make we have open hearts, and may this money be used to further your kingdom here on earth. And one day we know we'll live with you in heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If you're using a book, you can mark number 399. 399 will be the song following Jeff's lesson this morning. And before the lesson, number 23. Number 23. And shall we stand for this song, please?
Good evening, or morning, excuse me. It's been a long week. Good morning, it is good to see you. And as you were standing up there, as we were singing that last song, I looked back at the board and saw the number, and I thought, that cannot be right. It's showing the second highest crowd we've had here since we've started back opening up, and I really think our counters missed it somewhere, because there were more than 145 here this morning. I believe there is. Anyway, preacher count, I won't say at least 170. But it is good to have you here, and if you are visiting with us this morning, if you've come with family, thank you for coming our way. We cherish your presence. We want to get to know you. We want to make you feel welcome, and we hope that you will come our way once again. Somebody has said that home is where the heart is. Many of you have probably at one time seen the old Wizard of Oz, and you remember the words of Dorothy, "There's no place like home. There's no place like home." Many of us are the people that we are today, because of the home in which we grew up. It made a difference in our lives. And as we continue our theme this year of being the hands of Jesus, I want us to think about, and I put it up here on the board before you, how we can be the hands of Jesus in our homes. As husbands, as wives, as fathers, as mothers, as children, as sons and daughters, how can we be what Jesus wants us to be? How can we be His servants in our homes? As you know, today is recognized as Mother's Day. Some of you have come from a distance to be with your mothers here today, and we're grateful for your presence. But what are we doing? We're trying to honor them for the role that they have played in our lives. You know, you can go online and you can find all of these different quotes that have been made about the importance of mothers. I'm going to share with you three that I ran across and I thought they were interesting. This was made back in the 17th century. It goes way back. And the future of society is in the hands of the mothers. Think about that for just a moment. The future of society is in the hands of the mothers. Here's another one I thought was rather interesting. Men may build cities and railroads. They span rivers and tunnel mountains. But the mothers of men are the builders of civilization. Think about that, mothers. You are the builders of civilization. And then the last one. Mothers write on the hearts of their children what the world's rough hand cannot erase. You are busy writing on the hearts of your children, especially if you have young children. You're busy writing on their hearts things that down the road cannot be erased. If you're putting there the things that God wants us to put in the lives of our children. So you and I cannot say enough this morning or any day about good mothers and or the sacrifices that they've made on behalf of each of us who were their children growing up in their homes. But this morning, I want us to turn our attention to a specific mother in Scripture, a woman whose sacrifices on behalf of her son are those that we need to stop and consider. You know her as Hannah. Her story is not only a story of humiliation and ridicule, it is also one of perseverance, of love, of sacrifice, and of the blessings of the Lord. And that story, specifically where we're going to be spending our time this morning, is in the first two chapters of 1 Samuel, primarily chapter 1. Toward the end, I'll get into chapter 2 for just a little bit. But if you go to chapter 1 and you begin reading there, in the very first verse, you're introduced to a man by the name of Elkanah. And then you're told something about Elkanah. Elkanah has two wives. Now, that is not something that God approved of, but we find that it did happen oftentimes in the Old Testament. Elkanah had two wives. One wife was named Hannah. The other one was Peninnah. And each year, what Elkanah would do is he would take his family, his two wives and children up to Shiloh, which is where the tabernacle was. That tabernacle had been there since the days of Joshua. He would go there to worship and to offer the yearly sacrifices. And something else we're told is that Hannah had no children, but Peninnah did. She had children. Ladies, in those days and time, in Israel, if a woman was able to bear children and had children, she was considered to be blessed of the Lord. Those children were God's blessing upon her. If she was unable to have children, she was considered to be cursed of the Lord. And Peninnah was jealous of Elkanah. Even though Elkanah had no children, she was jealous of Hannah, because her husband Elkanah, who was also Hannah's husband, he loved Hannah more than he loved Peninnah. Now, you want to create strife in a family, just have two wives and love one more than you love the other, or let one think that their love, the other one is loved more than them. But that's what happened. And what does she do? She knew that the fact that Hannah did not have children bothered Hannah, so she used that. And she used to taunt Hannah. And really, as we would say, drive the screws home. It became so bad year after year that finally it reached a point where Hannah became so upset that she wouldn't even eat when they went up to the tabernacle. Elkanah tried to console her. He tried to make things better, but all of his efforts were to no avail. And you know, in all of this, there's no evidence that Hannah ever lashed out at Peninnah. We don't find that in Scripture. If it happened, we're not told about it. Ladies, what do you do when something is just eating at you, wearing you out in your home, when you are distressed because you've been mistreated in some way? In the midst of her distress, Hannah did the only thing that she knew to do. It was to pray to God. Many years ago, there was a man by the name of Elisha Hoffman who wrote the words to a hymn that you and I have sung time and time again. You know the words from the first stanza. He goes like this: I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear my burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. If you are a mother here today, I want to encourage you that when you have those trials that you just don't know where to go, sometimes as a mother, you can't even turn to your husband for assistance or help or encouragement because they just don't understand. If you've got those distresses in your life that are just weighing you down and burdening your soul, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do exactly what Elisha Hoffman is saying to do. Why? Because if you go back to the end of that stanza, you see what he tells us. He ever loves and cares for his own. And if you are a Christian woman here today, you are his own. You are his, and he loves you and he cares for you. And if you look at the beginning of the second stanza of that song, it even encourages us to do that. He is a kind, compassionate friend, as he said of Jesus. So when you find yourself just burdened down and no one can help you with that bitterness of soul that you're struggling with, turn to the Lord in prayer. Hannah did that. In the bitterness of her soul, she begins praying to God. She is pouring out her soul before the Lord. And as you can imagine, ladies, the tears are coming with it. What did she say? Look at verse 11. There we're told what was the content of her prayer. She said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. and a razor shall never come on his head. For those of you that may not understand that last statement, a razor shall never come upon his head, that was a part of what was called the Nazarite vow. It was someone that was devoted to God. And one of the things that was to be done in that situation is their hair was never to be cut as long as they were under that Nazarite vow. Remember Samson? He was a Nazarite. He was under a Nazarite vow. His mother, God had told his mother, his hair is to never be cut. It wasn't until his hair was cut that his strength left him, if you remember. But anyway, something else is happening at that moment as she's praying there at the tabernacle. Eli, the high priest, is there, and he's watching her. And he sees her lips moving. He sees the tears flowing, but he hears no words. He hears nothing audible. He immediately assumes that she is drunk, that she has been drinking. And he criticizes her. He basically speaks to her, and we know, if we go to verse 13, that she's speaking in her heart to the Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been somewhere, and you can't just stop and bow your head and close your eyes and start praying because it's a situation, you're driving down the road. You don't close your eyes and bow your head driving down the road. I can tell you about a situation one time when that happened. We were on our way. A group of young men from Walnut Street Church of Christ, and the preacher at that time was taking us over to speak and teach at a congregation over on Tennessee Ridge. And before we got there, he said, "Boys, let's take a moment and pray." And we all bowed our heads, and out of the corner of our eye, we saw him drop his head too while he was driving. And then he stopped, he realized what he was doing, and lifted his head back up. That would not have been good if he'd kept that up. But there are times when we can't do that. So what do? We pray in our heart to the Lord, don't we? Sometimes we're praying for strength in the moment. Sometimes we're praying for wisdom. How do I handle this situation? Sometimes we're praying for courage to do what we need to do in the moment. And we know I can't just stop, bow my head, close my eyes. And it's a silent prayer in the heart to God that God hears and God acknowledges. Sometimes we're praying for peace, patience, a host of things. And it's only in the moment that we're praying that prayer. But we're praying it from the heart and in our hearts. And this is what she is doing. And yet Eli assumed that she had been drinking. And so he says to her, he reprimanded her. And he says, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you." Verse 14. Well, he soon learns that he was mistaken. She's not drunk. Instead, she is a woman, as she points out, she has a broken heart. She's deeply troubled. She told Eli all of this. She explains to him that she had neither drunk wine nor strong drink there in verse 15, and she had been pouring out her soul to the Lord. And he realizes that he's misjudged her. And so what he says to her, he says, "Go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked for from him." Well, as our reading picked up just earlier this morning with David in verse 19, they go home, go back to Ramah. And God answers Hannah's prayer. He gives her a son. She names him Samuel because she says, "I've asked of him from the Lord." Now, you mothers, can you imagine the joy that she must have felt when she gave birth to that firstborn son? She's been praying for this child for who knows how long. She's prayed in tears that God would respond to her and grant her a child. And now here she is. She has a son. God has answered her prayers. But, and there's a big but in that, she'd made a promise to God. You remember the promise? "If you will give me a son, I will give him to you for all of his life. I will give him back to you." That's a hard thing to do, isn't it, ladies? Do you imagine that maybe there was a part of her that might have began to try to reason, "You know, surely God wouldn't expect me to take my only son, the only one I have, and the one that I've been praying for all these years, and now give him back to him. Surely he wouldn't want me to do that." She might have reasoned in her heart that God wouldn't expect her to keep her vow. Not now. She might have even thought, God wants me to be happy. Have you ever heard somebody use that argument? God wants me to be happy. So he wouldn't take my joy away from me by expecting me to give this back to him. But there's no indication anywhere in Scripture that she reasoned any of those things. She had made a commitment to God, and she was going to honor her commitment. When it came time the next year for Elkanah and all of the family to go back up to Shiloh and to offer the sacrifices and to worship once again as they had been doing year after year after year, she chose not to go. And she told Elkanah, if you'll notice there, as was in our reading, verse 22, I will not go up until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. Now, men, you're the husband, and you've watched your wife grieve for a child, long for a child, and finally that child comes, and you know the promise that she's made. She certainly has shared that promise with you. And now she says, I'm not going. What are you thinking in your mind? I wonder if she's going to renege on her promise. I would understand it if she did. I wonder if that's not what Elkanah thought. Now, he wanted her to keep that promise, please understand, but he may have thought that she was beginning to have second thoughts, because what he says to her is this: do what seems best to you. Remain until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord confirm his word. In other words, you've made a promise to God. When Hannah had finally weaned Samuel, she made perhaps the most difficult journey of her life. That time of the year came. It was time to go back to the tabernacle there in Shiloh. It was time to take her son and to give him to Eli, the high priest, as she had promised God. Have you ever stopped, ladies, as you've studied this passage on your own, to consider what must have been going through her mind, what she must have been wrestling with in her heart? I'm taking my child. This is my only child. I never know if I'll have another one. As far as I know, I'll never have another child. And I promised him to God, and I'm going to follow through, but this is hard. Every step of the way, it must have been difficult. And they get to Shiloh, and they offer this, as she's taken her sacrifices that she had intended to take, and as Eli comes out, and after the sacrifices are offered, they go to Eli, and she presents the boy to Eli, and what she says to him, those words that she spoke. Now, I've given them to you from the New International Version because it kind of brings out the idea a little bit better. But she says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given to the Lord. And ladies, she left that 3-year-old boy with that priest. And she turned with her husband and she started back home to Ramah. How many of you mothers would not have just broken down in tears at that point in your life? How many of you mothers would have looked back every step? I've left him. I've left him. Will he be okay? Will Eli take care of him the way I would take care of him? Will Eli make sure that he's provided for in the way I would provide for him? You know, we read these words and we just go right through them and we don't stop to think about the emotion and all of the things that are going on and the people that are involved in it. We just kind of move right through it. And if we were to stop there, it could seem to be such a sad story, but our story doesn't end there. Like any mother who loves her child, Hannah did not forget Samuel. No mother can forget her child, and Hannah didn't forget Samuel. As a matter of fact, when you come over, you find in chapter 2 that she, every year, would make him a little robe, and she would bring it to him whenever she and Elkanah and Peninnah would go up to offer the yearly sacrifice. Every year, don't you know that when she went up with her husband and when she saw this 4-year-old, this 5-year-old, this 6-year-old, the first time she laid eyes on him when they came back to the tabernacle, that joyful tears were shed. And I'm sure she hugged him. And she asked him, how's everything been going? She talked to him. And every year she had to leave him and go back home. Just as she'd done the year before and the year before, all the way back to the year when she had first brought him up. For Hannah, no child could ever replace her firstborn. Moms, you know that. No child can ever replace that one or any of your other children. But Eli, he did the only thing he knew to do. He spoke a blessing over Elkanah and Hannah. And the blessing which he spoke, we find in chapter 2, verse 20. He said, "May the Lord give you children from this woman in place of the one that she dedicated to the Lord." They went back home, and God remembered Hannah's sacrifice, and he remembered what Eli had prayed, and he blessed Hannah, and she had three more sons and two daughters. But perhaps the most fitting statement that we find is the one at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21. "And the boy Samuel grew before the Lord." What are we to take from all of that? Good story. But that's thousands of years ago. What does it have to do with us here today? There is no tabernacle. But we do have mothers. And you mothers have children. And you make a difference in the lives of those children. And the greatness of Samuel reflects the faithfulness of his mother Hannah. If you continue to read through 1 and 2 Samuel and you find this prophet of God, this last judge of Israel, and the things that he does, he leads Israel in its first great revival, because if you remember, there was no king in Israel according to the judges, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Samuel brings them back to the Lord. Not only that, he is one that is responsible for driving the Philistines out of the territory through his influence in the lives of the early kings. And he was the one who reestablished the worship of the Lord, because you may also remember that the altar had been carried away, or the Ark of the Covenant had been carried away, and only much later was it brought back. And finally, in David's day, brought into Jerusalem. He set up the kingdom of Israel. He was the one that anointed the first two kings of Israel. He anointed David, the man after God's own heart. Yes, he made a great difference in Israel in that day, but he had a mother who first made a great difference in his life and who demonstrated faithfulness before him. If you're a mother here today, I want to say this to you. Never underestimate your influence in the lives of your children when it comes to their faithfulness before God. If you hear nothing else I've said all morning long, hear these things. Mothers, as those who love God and seek to honor Him in your life, let me encourage you. Let your children see you as a student of God's Word. Let them see you opening the Scriptures and reading them and studying them for yourself. Not just when you come here, not just when you're in a Bible class here, but when you're at home and they see you and they're around you. Let them come to know you as a person who is devoted to prayer. Have your children ever seen you pray? If not, they need to see a mother who prays. Let your children know what it means to serve others. Teach them how to serve the Lord by serving others around them. And then finally, let your children hear you sing praises to the Lord. I think one of the most beautiful sounds in a home is the sound of a mother singing praises to God. And the children hear that. And they know that's important. It's important to mom. And those songs, they'll remember. You'd much rather them remember those songs than some of the others that are on the radio today. To remember the songs of praise that you sing before the Lord in your home, while you're washing the dishes, while you're getting the clothes ready to be laundered, or whatever you're doing, let them see that. But then something else. How many of us are where we are today because of a godly mother in our lives? If you're such a person, don't just thank her today. Thank her every day of your life. for the woman that she's been before you, the mother that she's been, but thank God that He provided for you that individual in your life who has set an example for you and that dedicated example for you. And as I said, thank your mother for her faithfulness before God and her task to motherhood. And most of all, honor her every day. You know how you do that? Not just today, not just Mother's Day, but honor her every day by following her example. If she's been a woman who's been in the Word of God, you be in the Word of God. If she's been a woman who's been praying and you've seen her pray, you learn how to pray. Ask, if you have to, ask your mother, teach me how to pray. What does it mean to pray, Mom? Why is prayer so important to you? And you tell them. Let her see you as somebody that's serving, in not just in the body of Christ, but in the community where you live. Let them hear you sing praises, and you follow your mother. Learn those songs and sing them yourselves. Be those people that your mothers have encouraged you to become. That's the way we truly become more godlike. That's the way we, and mothers, that's the way you become the hands of Jesus in your home. And those of us who are children, that's the way we become the hands of Jesus as we grow and mature in our own lives. Today, I ask you, where are you in your life as a Christian? Are you one who is honoring Christ? Are you living your life on a regular basis for Him? And do people around you see that in you? If so, then may God be praised and may His kingdom continue to grow. But if you're a Christian and you're not living that way, something, folks, something needs to change. It really does. Because the only way we're going to change a world that's lost is for us to be the people God calls us to be. We can't call people to be something we're not trying to be in our own lives. But secondly, if you're not a Christian and you're here today, if the blood of Christ has not washed away your sin, if you've not confessed Him as Lord and Savior, turned away from your sin, and been buried with Him in baptism, why not today? Don't put it off. Don't say, one day I will. I'm just not ready yet. Tomorrow may never come. We don't know. We don't know when we will take our last breath. Only God knows that. But if you need to respond to God's invitation, why not today, as together we stand and sing?
This has been the worship services of the Waverly Church of Christ. Your speaker this morning, Jeff Keel. Your song leader, Larry Hayes. Join us each Sunday at this time for this broadcast. It originated live and was sponsored by the Waverly Church of Christ, located at 438 West Main Street in Waverly, Tennessee. Visit our website at www.waverlychurchofchrist.org, and there you will find today's lesson and many more lessons from God's Word, the Bible. Also, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/WAVCOC and help us spread and share the good news of Jesus Christ. If you want to worship us in person, we are located at 438 West Main Street in Waverly, Tennessee. And from there, we bid you a very blessed good day.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son.
Heavenly Father, we come to thee on this beautiful Lord's Day. Being able to come together and worship, it feels so good. And we're so glad to be able to come and worship you in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for all that are able to be here. We pray for all the families and all the many things that's happened and went on in their lives. Especially we pray for the Don Snyder family, the Billy Williams family, Ms. Gordon, and Carl McMullins. And we pray for their grief, but we realize there's a brighter side to life, that there will be a place that's a much bigger gathering one day where we can see each other and enjoy life in heaven if we've been faithful through death. Our Heavenly Father, we are especially thankful for our mothers, as Jeff was talking about this morning. There will be no greater friend for all of us than our mothers. They help us, they mend us, they do all those many things. They're the doctors, nurses, they're the caretakers, and take us wherever we need to go. Help us to be mindful that they are so great. And fathers also. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we're again going to be able to gather together as a big family here at church and worship you. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for all those that are sick, and we pray that the things may be done to make them better, if it be your will, realizing that all things are your will. Keep us safe, and pray that we'll remember and come back tonight at 5:30. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.